If all I knew about him was theoretical, or how would I put it, abstract, or just truth about him, but no, right here in the sevenfold description, God says he made purification of sins. He came to set me free from my guilt. He made it possible for me to stand in the presence of God blameless with great joy. He, by the blood of the covenant, cleansed me. He made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Do you know him as your Redeemer and your Savior?
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series through the book of Hebrews. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, Seven Things God Wants You to Know About Jesus. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
The second psalm has four voices going on. The psalmist, the first stanza, then God the Father speaks, then God the Son speaks, and then the Holy Spirit speaks. And you can just see it as you glance at it. And if you didn't think of that, you might stay a little bit confused because there's four different voices going on. Well, the psalmist says, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? Boy, that's a great psalm for today. Don't you ask that? Why are the nations in an uproar? Why are the peoples devising such a vain thing? The psalmist asks that question. The second stanza, God sits in the heavens. He laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Far from being threatened by man's little fist shaking, God isn't threatened. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. As for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Do you think God is concerned in the sense of wringing his hands about what's going on this earth? No. I have established my king. As for me, I have installed my king on my holy mountain. That's God's word, the Father. Then Jesus, the Son, responds, verse 7. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And by the way, if you read this and if you've been reading Hebrews, you know that Hebrews refers to this psalm a couple of times. Paul quoted this psalm in his very first recorded sermon. It's so clearly Jesus saying, the Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. God, by irrevocable mandate, gave Jesus Christ his inheritance. He is the heir of all things. And Jesus says, ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance. Jesus is quoting the Father, I should say, really. And you'll break them with a rod of iron. You'll shatter them like earthenware. You see, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he is seated far above all rule and power and authority and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He is heir of all things. Christian, you and I are fellow heirs with Jesus. Remember when he says that the Holy Spirit bears witness, Romans 8, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and not children only, but heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Enjoy that. God says, let me tell you about Jesus. He's my son. He's the heir of everything. And as God, Jesus is God, but he will inherit, he will be given, you might say, the title deed of earth. When you turn to the book of Revelation and they're weeping because nobody's worthy to really open the seven sealed book or the seven sealed scroll. Nobody's worthy. And so he's weeping, John is. And then they say, wait a minute, there is one. And the one who opens the seven sealed book, and that's, by the way, the book of Revelation is these seven seals opening and God taking over the rightful place of ownership of this world. It is Jesus, the Lion of Judah, who breaks those seals, and Jesus will inherit the title deed of the earth, you might say, because the Bible says it. You know, it describes it for a whole book as man. He's God, but there's a man who will rule with a rod of iron. He is heir of all things. And I'm telling you, believer, you are too. You're a fellow heir with him. Unbelievers, boy, they will spend their whole life laboring, working, storing up, hoarding up estates, dreaming that what you're worth is your stuff that you're accumulating. And the word of God stays the same. You brought nothing into this world. You're not taking anything out of it. Meanwhile, the meek, the world would say the weak, but the meek, Jesus said, the gentle, the humble, might die penniless. But we inherit the world. Everything. Oh, he's heir of all things. But that's not all. Notice in our text, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He's the creator. Jesus Christ. In the beginning, John starts, was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things came into being through this Word who became flesh. All things came into being. And whatever's come into being came into being through him. He says it about three ways in one sentence. And you'll see that, by the way, often in the first chapter of a book, just like we are here in Hebrews, because these books were all about Jesus. So John gets right to the point. So does Hebrews. So does Colossians, by the way. For in him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He's the creator of everything. John, verse 10. He, Jesus, the Word became flesh. He was in the world, cosmos. He was in the world. He created the cosmos. He made the world. And the cosmos, the world, did not know him. But all the order and beauty, and that's what that word cosmos is. It's order and beauty. And so the scientists will go, look at the cosmos. It's amazing. As opposed to chaos, cosmos. We get our word cosmetics. You know, you look in the mirror and you say, we got to do some rearranging here. And so you do your best, you know. That's where they get the word, to arrange things so that it just, so there's harmony and unity and beauty. Jesus Christ made the cosmos. The cosmos doesn't know him. Most people driving down Murray say, what? But I'm telling you. Now, but Hebrews here says, he made the aeon. He uses a different word. There's two words for world. And he uses the word that we get our word eons, and the word ages. Jesus Christ not only created everything that you see, visible and invisible. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of his hand, so that what is seen is not made out of things which are visible. He just spoke. And it was done. He commanded and it stood fast, Psalm 33 says. No, Jesus not only created all the matter, he created the time, the eons, the eras. History is not something out of control. He's in charge. through whom also he made the ages. We use the word that way, you know. I mean, you go back a ways and you think, man, you know, you did a little reading about what was going on after the Civil War, let's say, 1870s. And we would say, even right here in Portland, you know, we'd say, boy, it was a whole different world. By the way, you could say that 100 years later, couldn't you? 1970s compared to now. We're moving so fast into the chaos, it seems, as the age just spins out of control that we say, oh, and we have our generations. I can't even keep up with millennials and X's and boomers and all that stuff. Because, and decades, and even shrunk, you know, yesterday was so far away. So we think, but there's one in charge of history. His name is Jesus. He's the creator of all things. He made the world and everything in it. Oh, enjoy that, Christian. The other day I was privileged to start my day over at Cannon Beach. We had our staff retreat, and it was a beautiful setting. We had a lawn, and then we could see the ocean out in the distance. And I sat out there for my first cup of coffee, and I was just enjoying the beauty of the creation. And right here in the lawn, I mean, that far away from me, I was looking at the surf, and I was looking at the blue sky. And right here, there was a little robin. And he would go, and then he'd just boom. You know, in all my days, I have never been bugged by the noise of the worms, have you? I've never heard one. But I saw something just a few weeks ago sitting there in that lawn, and I thought back to when I was a kid, and we had this, what we called in those days, a picture window in our little two-bedroom duplex, and we had a piece of grass about this big is all we had. We didn't have the ocean and all that stuff. You don't have to have anything to just look and see, because I remember looking out that as just a little guy and seeing the robins listening, and then, boom, getting night crawlers. And I marvel, and it should drive us to our knees, should it not? And that's just the robins. Look at the birds of the air. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Now, He's the Creator, and we should enjoy it. And by the way, when we get to heaven, Thou art worthy. You are worthy. Why? Because You created everything. Why? Because You wanted to. It was Your will to create everything. That's what they're praising God for in heaven. And we're going to get to, too, Revelation 4:11. And there's several songs made out of that verse that I love to sing. But that's not all. Notice verse 3, He's the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. He is the revealer of God. The radiance of His glory. Just like you can't separate the sunlight from the sun, Jesus is the very radiance of His glory. Satan works overtime, 2 Corinthians 4 says, to keep us from seeing the glory of God in the face of Christ. But Jesus is the very radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. Caricature. The exact representation. It was the word they used to describe a die hitting clay and leaving an exact imprint. My dad, when I was young, he'd let me practice. He'd give me a chunk of 2x4 and some nails, probably just to keep me out of his hair, because now I do it with my grandkids. And I know why I'm doing it. But anyway, he'd say, now just practice getting those nails in that 2x4. And don't leave your trademark. And if you guys, you know, carpenters, you know, it's not a good thing to leave your trademark, to leave the hammer mark, you know. You stop just and you get that thing, and don't leave a big, oh, yeah, Scott was here. Well, that's this idea here. Jesus is the very image of the invisible God. He's the caricature. We get our word character or characteristic. You want to know what God is like? He's the exact representation, Jesus is, of His very nature. Watch Jesus walking among men, loving like no man ever loved, speaking like nobody ever spoke, saying things. I remember Tuesday morning, we were just over at Ava's, our Bible study continued, and we were just looking at these words of Jesus, and every line arrests you. He spoke like no man ever spoke. He healed. He cared. He was righteous in his indignation against sin. He spoke, acted, loved, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. He's the revealer of God. Sit at the feet of Jesus and tell people what you see. Five, he is, notice, the sustainer. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Colossians 1, I've already quoted verse 16 as being the creator. In verse 17, he says, he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. The physicists can't really figure out. They scratch their head. The more we learn about matter and the physics of our world, they can't understand what holds things together. When we came up with the word atom, it was from two Greek words, or a negated Greek word, tome, to cut. And when we realized we found the smallest thing, that the indivisible one, that which cannot be cut, tome, and to way to negate it, you don't say untome, you say atome, to negate it. So atom became that which was indivisible, the smallest thing. Well, then we learned they're subatomic particles, huh? It wasn't the first time science was wrong, by the way. It won't be the last time. We know a lot of stuff, and we do, but we don't know with certainty like we should. And when you find yourself knowing things that negate the one who is the truth, look out. But anyway, we found out that when you split that which is unsplittable, when you cut that which is uncuttable, when you divide the atom, a lot of power gets unleashed, right? And that's old hat. We've known that all our lives now. You know who holds everything together? The physicists still don't really grasp it. What principle is it? Jesus Christ upholds all things. He holds all things together by the word of his power. Colossians 1:17 starts just like Hebrews does. I'm telling you, there is one, this Jesus, who's the sustainer of the universe. And he will hold you together and me together. He can and will when we feel like we're coming apart. And that's not all. He's the, notice, Redeemer. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down. If all I knew about him was theoretical, or how would I put it, abstract, or just truth about him, but no, right here in the sevenfold description, God says he made purification of sins. He came to set me free from my guilt. He made it possible for me to stand in the presence of God blameless with great joy. He, by the blood of the covenant, cleansed me. He made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Do you know him as your Redeemer and your Savior? I could have just as well called this Savior as Redeemer. He made purification. He cleansed us. I'm clean before God Almighty. And when he'd done that, he sat down. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Four times in Hebrews, he underlines that Jesus Christ has been seated. He's alive. He rose from the dead. He made 40 days worth of appearances. He ascended into heaven, and he entered within the veil as our forerunner, and he sat down. And we're going to enjoy each one of them. Chapter 1, verse 3, right here. Chapter 8, verse 1, when he says, the main point in what I've been saying is this. And chapter 10, verse 12, when he underlines what this underlines too, that a priest, everything about a priest representing us to God, it all depends on that sacrifice. And so we'll learn much about the sacrifice, the purification that he did at the cross, and it is finished. He is seated. There's no chairs in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. There's no chairs in the inner holy place in the temple. Why? Because a priest never sat down. His work was never done. But there is one seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And what a better, I mean, what could we say? Is there a better way to come around the Lord's table and experience and enjoy and think about and reflect on the communion that I have, that you have, Christian, that you can have if you haven't yet responded to Jesus? You can have communion with the Holy One through the blood of Jesus, his Son. Father, as we come around this table, we praise you that you gave Jesus, your Son, your only Son. Oh, we can bask in that love. And we praise you that he is heir of all things. And we marvel that we would ever get caught up in trying to build a little kingdom down here when you told us we're fellow heirs with him. And oh, we rejoice that he is the preeminent one, the revealer. Oh, Lord, the more we know of Jesus, the more we want to know you and live for you and point others to you. And as we come around this table, we praise you that you hold all things together and you hold our lives together. We'd come apart at the seams if it weren't for you. Oh, we thank you, Lord. And I pray that even as we've looked at Jesus today and listened to what you've said about him, oh, Father, we pray that we would, even in this moment, trust you more fully and have a bigger and better idea of your Son as we fix our eyes on him. We come in his name. Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Seven Things God Wants You to Know About Jesus, a message from our series in the book of Hebrews. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. This year, we're doing many things differently than before. Nearly all of us, it seems, have switched over to online resources, whether that be simply more time listening to the radio or worshiping online through live streams. We're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station. And we invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 AM. It's best to check the 800 AM program guide for up-to-the-minute schedule adjustments. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
So when I say worship him, Think about those things, because worship isn't merely when we come in here and sit in rows and hear his word and sing his praise and gather and encourage one another. Think about adulation and adoration and bowing before and kissing the ground. Worship is God's whole goal. Think about it. First and second commandments. I want to be worshiped. I'm the one and only true God. Don't you worship any other God. And the climax of history. I mean, you start in Genesis and you get to the end, and what do you see? That great hallelujah chorus. They worshiped him.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Hebrews. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Worship Him. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.